This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, this is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan. Tonight, we're talking about recent headlines about SPM leavers not wanting to further their education. This comes from a survey by the Department of Statistics, so we look at the findings and talk about whether the appeal of higher education has changed. Then, we discuss why young people are increasingly attracted to being content creators by speaking to an influencer. Tell us, is higher education still a must for today's job market? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp or voice note 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08, and let's get to the, in many ways, the starting point of today's conversation. So it's been reported in a number of media outlets that according to a Department of Statistics Malaysia survey from 2019, 72.1% of SPM leavers choose not to further their education. Now, this has opened up actually a pretty big conversation on why this might be so, what this means when it comes to the future of our job market. And we will admit that we tried quite a bit to look at, to find the root of these figures and some breakdowns, but it was a little bit challenging. However, the conversation around this, I think, brings up some really interesting points. Worth saying, Education Minister Dato' Razie Jidin yesterday questioned the validity of the study and said that it hadn't been done comprehensively. And he said that the ministry will be looking into the details of this data and that they'll be sharing more data on this short in the near future, and they'll explain where students might be choosing to move on to after school. So that's where we're at. But the points that are being brought up on this essentially talk about a number of things. So we are hearing of, for instance, from Associate Professor Dr. Shafriza Nisha Bassa, Director of Entrepreneurship, Industry and Community Networking at the University of Perlis, who spoke to Utusan Malaysia. And so they talked about three potential reasons for SPM leavers opting away from going on to do tertiary education. One being greater employment opportunities on gig platforms. As well as the influence of social media and the belief that having good academic results may not necessarily guarantee high-paying jobs. Now, with regard to his second point, Dr. Shafriza said that the majority of young people these days are attracted to the lifestyle of content creators and social media influencers, and they view it as a way to essentially become successful and live a better life than what they might get if they just went on to university or college or other forms of tertiary education. There have also been, of course, multiple times in the course of the last few months where whenever we do stories regarding SPM and the job market, we get a number of messages coming in that often talk about exactly that, the attraction of gig work, the attraction of becoming an influencer online versus going on to pursue tertiary education. And I think there are so many things that contribute to this, right? On the one hand, we are living at a time when, as we've covered here on the show, as we've covered on the station, young graduates are coming out, not necessarily getting jobs that are paying them enough to live on. Others are coming out and not getting jobs that are suitable to their qualification. We're also hearing about the inflation rate and the fact that sometimes it might look like hard work, putting in all this effort, taking on student debt in some case may not necessarily pay off the way it used to for previous generations. So I think what we're going to do with today's show, on the one hand, first, we're going to examine this idea of tertiary education and whether it still holds the kind of cachet, the kind of attraction that it used to. Later on, we're going to look at one particular aspect that is apparently becoming more and more popular with young people, this notion of becoming an influencer and what the opportunities, but also the challenges are when it comes to that. So we'd like to hear from you. Is higher education still a must for today's job market? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp or voice note 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Kularetnam Vijay Kumar, Program Manager at the Tunku Abdul Rahman Foundation. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
It's coming up to 6:14. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about the importance of hiring digital talent and to future-proof your company. We'd like to hear from you. What do you look for in a job? And is it important to you that the company offers upskilling? You can call 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp us or voice note us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Gopi Ganesalingam, Senior Vice President of Ecosystem Development at MDEC. Gopi, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sharmila, and thank you for having MDEC on the evening edition and Inside Story.
So at the moment, how much do companies prioritize digital skills when they're hiring?
Okay, I want to just set the stage here. When we're growing the digital economy, talent is probably the most important enabler. And talent is something that we are focused in developing because it's fast-moving, as fast as technology. So to answer your question, in the middle of last year, MDEC did a survey with some of our digital companies and found that during hiring, companies are currently emphasizing more on skills and attitude over academic qualification and experience. Adding to that fact, where digitalization is seen across all industries, it is definitely true that companies are prioritizing digital skills when hiring today, more than ever. So, if you look at during the early phases of COVID-19 or when the nation was in MCO, an MDEC survey found that the majority of the companies highlighted that their staff needed trainings in remote working skills, like, for example, getting onto Zoom, getting onto Teams, getting onto simple apps, right? And then a year later, companies are telling us that most of the staffs would need to be retrained in core digital skills like programming, cloud, cybersecurity, and data analysis.
So is there enough of a pipeline for digital talent in the job market currently?
Oh, yes. There are certainly more than enough vacancies in the market for digital talents. As mentioned previously, digital talents are high in demand across all industries, whether it's digital industry or non-digital industry. In fact, in Malaysia, we might be surprised to hear that data from LinkedIn survey shows that the non-traditional ICT sectors are currently hiring more digital talents in the past as compared to ICT companies. And some of these sectors, include banking, insurance, HR, outsourcing, and the likes of that, right? So I think the challenge is really whether our digital talents are competent enough for the job market. And that is why we have seen many government-led initiatives on retraining and upskilling being introduced. On that topic, if you allow me to just elaborate a little bit why I said that, because particularly for MDEC, the initiatives that we have actually introduced are around the problem statements I just spoke about. So we've introduced programs like Let's Learn Digital, which aims to encourage Malaysians to upskill and reskill their digital tech skills via collaboration with the industry partners and training providers. The second one is Digital Skills Training Directory, which is a one-stop guide to digital reskilling and upskilling, particularly in the areas of fintech, data sciences, cybersecurity, software development, game development, animation, and the digital global business services, which is fast growing, right? The third initiative of the program is the Global Online Workforce, GLOW, which is a training program for qualified Malaysians to become a competitive digital freelancer.
So what are the main benefits of integrating and prioritizing digital talent within a company's workforce?
Good question. According to the World Economic Forum Future of Jobs Report 2020, companies in Malaysia have revealed that key technologies that would be adopted over the next 5 years would be IoT, Internet of Things, connected devices, right? BDA, encryption, cybersecurity, and AI, artificial intelligence. These are areas that are fast-growing, high in demand. This is also further proof of the critical need to integrate and prioritize digital talent within the workforce for all companies, because as you see the transformation taking place, as you see digital coming into every sector, talent is needed.
So considering how quickly the market is shifting, how much value is placed on one's paper qualifications versus experience?
This is a good question. I'm hoping my kids won't be listening to this question. But the fact is, and as alluded to earlier, the emphasis of companies when hiring seems to be leaning towards skills and attitude compared to qualifications and experience. This is possibly due to the fact that technology is moving so fast and the industry is trying to keep up. So there also seems to be a growing trend for global companies, even like Google or Apple or Tesla or IBM, not to require a college degree anymore. So that is a huge shift in the way these big companies are also thinking. So back home in Malaysia, again, the same LinkedIn survey that I spoke to you about found that 38% of the companies are likely to hire candidates with skills rather than qualification or experience.
So to hone in on digital talent then, beyond technical proficiency, what are some of the elements that you look for when it comes to hiring digital talent?
Nice question. There are many, many, I think personally, and what I see from the industry, I think we look for very much the soft skills that typically complements the technical skills of a digital talent. This would probably include skills like communication, presentation, being agile, being adaptable, being strong in front of an audience. So these are some of the things that we will look at.
And just briefly, many digital roles can now be filled remotely. Mm-hmm. How does having access to this global pool of talent affect both employers as well as job seekers?
Yes, so the trend has changed, the tide is changing. So the current and the growing trend of freelancers and gig workers speak volumes to the thriving labour market, which relies on remote working arrangements outside of a fixed office. So in today's world, right, we don't need an explanation of what a gig economy is anymore. And it might be a different case about 15 years ago when we said gig economy, nobody really understood. When we said nomad economy, nobody really understood. So the gig economy is expected to bring in approximately more than $2.7 trillion by 2025, US dollars, right? And in Malaysia, as of 2021, 30% of our current workforce are already in the gig economy. So having access to a global pool of talent, it's certainly a game changer and allows companies an additional platform to hire the right candidates for their right businesses. On that note, in MDAC, we have been continuously supporting the Malaysian digital freelancers and helping them to become competitive on a global platform. And we are implementing this through our program, our signature program, Global Online Workforce, GLOW. So because we want our digital freelancers to be trained and complemented the current demand and the economic landscape, not just in Malaysia, but from the global demand, so that we can utilize and unleash the asset that we have with our local talent here.
And of course, one would be hiring to be competitive now, but also in the future, right? What advice do you have for hiring in a way that's relatively future-proof?
Well, you know, I don't want to be cynical, but I think everything has to be future-proof now. I think the world has changed. We cannot be saying that one size fits all. I think it is very important that one keeps pivoting and keeps learning new skills, right? So one advice that is worth mentioning, I think, is for companies to look for candidates who always seek to upskill themselves or are always continuously learning.
Gopi, what final thoughts would you like to leave us with?
Okay, that's a heavily loaded question, but allow me to answer it in a fairly long-winded manner. Because being a government agency of Ministry of Communications and Multimedia Malaysia, MDAC always strives to create a shared prosperity among all Malaysians, as mandated by the government through empowering Malaysians with the necessary skills and to help them succeed in an increasingly digitalized economy. So over the years, MDAC's digital talent and inclusivity initiatives have impacted more than 3 million Malaysians via our digital skills program and income opportunity programs. So these include initiatives such as My Digital Maker Movement, E-Usahawan, Premier Digital Tech Institute, Digital Skills Training Directory, and Let's Learn Digital. And I just want to add that in light of the COVID-19 pandemic, the government through MDAC has also introduced the My Digital Workforce, Work in Tech, MyWIT, initiative to help reskill and upskill unemployed Malaysians for digital tech and services job. We do believe if you want to create an inclusive digital society, we need an all-encompassing initiative to be put forward in order to ensure that digitalization is being adopted by all members of society for a fair economic distribution and equitable growth. Because at MDAC, we try to position our digital talent programs to address some of the industry issues, such as the discrepancies between the skills that we have or that and the demand that the industry is asking for.
Gopi, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much for having us here.
That was Gopi Ganesalingam, Senior Vice President of Ecosystem Development at MDEC, speaking to us about why hiring digital talent is important for companies and how they can find the right skill set when they do so. Let us know, what do you look for in a job? Is it important to you that the company offers upskilling? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp or voice note us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be continuing this conversation on digital upskilling as well as future-proofing companies after this. So keep those thoughts coming, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
It's 6:38. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And we're talking about digital upskilling and future-proofing when it comes to jobs and companies. Earlier, we heard from Gopi Ganesalingam of MDEC talking about how to hire the right digital talent. Later on, we're going to be discussing why it's important for companies to future-proof and what companies need to be offering to be more appealing to employees. But we would like to hear from you. What do you look for in a job? Is it important to you that the company offers upskilling? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp or voice note us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Speaking of which, we do have this voice note from Alia.
Personally, what I look for in a job are usually three things. First is my growth opportunity, whether it's in terms of technical skills, management skills, it can even be communication skills, any areas that I foresee that I can improve on. Second is whether the organization itself has a healthy work culture, whether they respect everyone's personal life, and at the same time, everyone still tries to contribute as much as they can professionally. And the third is on myself, whether I have anything to contribute to the job, whether I have the expertise, the skills, or the network to help the organization or the role to be expanded or to become better. For me, in any job that I am in or any company that I join, I look for the opportunity, whether there is any opportunity for me to upskill, when I go for a job, it's always about whether I can grow personally. So yes, upskilling is very important, especially in this fast-paced environment and the ever-changing technology. We continuously have to keep up with the latest trend or the best practices in the industry.
Alia, thank you for that voice note. If you'd like to send yours through, you can, well, firstly, the question we're asking, what do you look for in a job? Is it important to you that the company offers upskilling? You can WhatsApp or voice note us at 018-789-8899. You can call us 7733 2900, tweet us at BFM Radio. I really do think that point about the fast pace of change when it comes to work is really important, right? Because it shouldn't necessarily be on the employee to take the initiative and the cost and the time to upskill themselves to keep up as well.
And this is something that we're going to talk about shortly, right? But that's why increasingly I think companies are recognizing that there is value in offering upskilling, not just for existing employees, and also because ultimately if that's the direction you want to go in, then you have to invest in some way or form, but also because it will then attract people who are looking and who are deeply interested, presumably, in this, but just didn't have the opportunity. I think the other thing that struck me, Alia, about your message was how well thought through your career path is. And I think that especially considering where we are at the moment with things changing so quickly, with you not necessarily knowing what job stability is going to look like or what it means or what you need to do in order for it to mean something. Having the conscious decision to say, I'm going to do this job in order to obtain a skill, or I know what skill I can bring to this job and where I want to grow, I think that's going to be quite key, actually, because We said a number of digital terms right at the start of our show. It included things like algorithms. It also talked about product design, user design. And there are so many directions that you could take that in. So knowing, I think, what skills you actually want to learn and apply is so important.
Offering a, an alternative take on this, though, Munif says the dilemma when it comes to the field of architecture is a bit different because when we discuss digital skills, despite being a technical industry, arts and design is still essential in churning out good architecture. Where I practice, digital talent and the state of art state of the art digital tools are overly saturated. So much so that one of the issues we face as far as design is concerned is an over reliance on tech with an abundance of convenient drafting tools and 3D software, are designers these days pushing the limits of their own creativity or simply pushing the limits of what the software can do? The answer to that question makes the difference between the truly creative, humane designs versus cookie-cutter, soulless pigeon boxes, just providing a different vista to the conversation.
Munif, so interested by that because not an architect, hang out with a lot of architects. So hearing, I think, the demands of the job or what it requires or what it's like at the moment is always really cool. But the other thing that strikes me is, so the human touch is something that is often discussed in the digital revolution as it's never going to go away. It is always going to be very important. And I think that your message absolutely reflects that. But is the price of the ticket to entry of a job in architecture, the knowledge of the software? Because that seems to be the issue here, right? Like, yeah, I want to be able to express my own creativity. I need to know exactly what I am bringing to the table. But also, do I kind of need to know the software in order to even join these spaces?
And that's a really good question. Is that price of the ticket, is that ticket to entry even something that's going to be relevant 5 years from now, 10 years from now, right? And again, whose responsibility is it to provide and continuously update those skills? Just to close off on this side of things, we have another voice note. This is Najman.
Hey guys, I got a question, or rather, I guess an opinion. To me, the thing that I look for in a job would be a good environment, because coming from tech industry, good environment is very important. A lot of tech companies run in a very toxic environment, like very bad hours, very bad treatment. So that's something that I really look for in a job, good environment, good people, I guess. And I think upskilling is very important, especially if it's provided by the company, because for tech, that's what people look for. So for example, if you're not good at cloud computing, for tech, that's great to have, a great skill to have. And for companies to do that to the employees, they can actually benefit from it. And later on in the future, the employees themselves will benefit from that. So, yeah.
I mean, those are actually some really great points, because alongside this idea of upskilling, which actually Munif referred to as well, we do need to continuously consider what it actually means to the day-to-day life of the employee.
Yes. The other thing that struck me listening to Najman was the question of how companies decide, because it is costly, right? Like,
yes,
when you say that, okay, this is the program that I'm going to try. How many people can you take on board for that upskilling? How much is that going to cost you in terms of training, certification, all these different things? And so cloud computing is a great example of something that we know is useful. I guess my question is, how do different companies in different industries pick? Because it's difficult.
Well, we are actually going to be looking at, after this, what companies need to be offering to operate and attract the right talent in terms of this landscape, which involves digital upskilling, agility, flexibility, and so on. But let us know, what do you look for in a job? Is it important to you that the company offers upskilling? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp or voice note us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be joined by Andrew Pereira, CEO of General Assembly Malaysia. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:47. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn, and we're talking about what companies need to offer to attract talent in this climate of flexibility and digital agility. We'd like to hear from you. What do you look for in a job? Is it important to you that the company offers upskilling? You can call 777-332-900, WhatsApp or voice note us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Andrew Pereira, CEO of General Assembly Malaysia. Andrew, good to have you back with us.
Always a pleasure.
So how competitive is the hiring landscape today from an employer's perspective? Is it difficult to attract the right talent?
So at the overall level, the labor market actually is not too bad for the average employer. So, you know, one of the measures that is helpful to gauge how competitive the labor market is for employers is to look at the job vacancy rate, right? So that's the percentage of jobs that are actually vacant at any point in time. And the job vacancy rate for Malaysia right now, as of the end of Q2, is about 2.2%. And just to, you know, give listeners a feel for this, the job vacancy rate in Singapore is about 6%. In the US, it's about 7%. So it's almost three times higher in those markets, which means that those markets are a lot more competitive for employers versus Malaysia, where it's actually not too bad for employers. Having said that, the picture is not quite that rosy for specific groups of employers. So, you know, three things to raise up here. The first is that about half of all vacancies are for professional level roles. So that means that even though overall the picture looks like it's very good and employers are not having a hard time, they're actually struggling a little bit with professional level roles, number one. Number two, the Great Resignation is a very real thing. According to the Hiley report, about 70% of people plan on, 70% of Malaysians specifically, plan on resigning over the next year. That number is about 85%, according to other reports out there. So people are looking for more opportunities. So even if the number of jobs that are vacant is relatively low, people are hunting around and are moving around or planning on moving around quite a bit. And the third and final thing is that the number of job vacancies is rising. So between Q1 and Q2, about 30,000 more jobs became vacant. And that tells you that even though the picture now is not too bad, it might change quite quickly.
So what sorts of differentiating factors are we seeing companies push or promote about themselves?
So no surprise, Malaysian employers favor paying more as a way for attracting people, at least companies that are able to do so. And to some extent, this is helpful, right? So depending on the surveys you look at, about 50 to 70% of employees will stay in a role for longer if they are paid more, no surprise there. And about 50% of Malaysian, about half of all Malaysian employers say that pay is the reason why they can't fill positions. So effectively, other people are paying more than they are. So, you know, and on top of that, I think you have, you know, things like Malaysia Pay Gap, the fact that a lot of recruitment happens online these days. There is a drive for greater salary transparency, and that has resulted in more awareness of pay as being something that's important. It's very tangible. You can compare pay in one company versus another. However, I think what is more glaring is the things that employers are not doing to differentiate themselves from each other. One perfect example of this is professional development opportunities. So there is research, again, quoting the Hiley report, the number one reason why people quit their jobs in Malaysia or plan on quitting their jobs over the next year is the lack of career growth. So, you know, pay can help you stick around for a bit longer, but at the end of the day, that's not sustainable if you don't see a trajectory for yourself to continue growing. And 70% of them would actually stay in their current roles if they had better career growth. And that includes things like formal training, things like what General Assembly Malaysia does, coaching, clearer career paths, promotion opportunities, etc. Culture is another thing that employers are not emphasizing enough. The average organization in Malaysia is unfortunately not very good, not that great when it comes to culture. About half of all Malaysians feel overworked. Only 40% of Malaysians say they have good work-life or life-work balance. This is among the lowest in Asia, depending on the report that you look at. I can keep going on here, but like it's very clear that culture is not something that many companies are using to differentiate themselves.
So with all that in mind, have recruitment strategies shifted?
Yes, I would say recruitment strategies have shifted. So the first thing to note is that a lot of hiring has moved online. And this is great for employers for many reasons. You can reach more candidates. The platforms are better at recommending good candidates to you if you're an employer. But there are some challenges with it as well. Number one is that it's created all this transparency. And because of that, you're feeling the competition a lot greater. Job descriptions are clearer. Pay is more transparent. The average candidate can look up employees who work at the organization. So it's harder to get away with offering a less attractive value proposition to the average person. However, so great employers use this transparency to their advantage, right? And they really differentiate themselves and show off their attractive value proposition. So for those of you who spend any time on LinkedIn, for instance, you'll see photos of amazing, great office spaces, videos of how much fun employees are having, at connectivity type events. You get screen captures of people talking, working from home and, talking about how grateful they are that they get to take care of their kids while they work from home, et cetera, et cetera. And so there are some employers who are very good at this and use it to differentiate themselves, but I think not enough employers are doing that.
Which leads me to the question that I know we would have had to ask you, which is how has going hybrid affected the conversation, right? Are more job hunters, job seekers seeking out a flexible arrangement?
Yeah, I think, it's not just hybrid, by the way. I think work flexibility more broadly is having a huge impact on the workforce. Hybrid is a form of that work flexibility, but, flexibility more broadly, there is research that shows that a candidate is about 80% more likely to apply for a job if some sort of flexibility is mentioned in the job description. So that in itself should tell you how attractive flexibility is to the average candidate. And when you look at generational differences, so if you look at Gen Z and millennials, it becomes even more pronounced, right? So they value that flexibility even more. One thing that I will say is that actually flexibility comes in different shapes and forms. And the two main kinds of flexibility are location flexibility and time flexibility. We hear a lot about location flexibility. So location flexibility is, can you work from home entirely? So that's entirely remote, or can you work in a hybrid model? That's very popular. About 60% of all Malaysians, according to surveys that have been done, at least those in professional roles, are working remotely or in a hybrid form. It's actually higher in the US, in the UK, it's about 80% over there. And it is by far the most popular option when polled among workers, that, that hybrid work models result in more engaged employees, more satisfied employees, more connected employees, et cetera. For instance, in General Assembly of Malaysia, we have a hybrid model and we asked our employees, do you like it or not? 90% of them said that they liked the current hybrid model. You would get the same result if we asked people if kittens were cute, right? So like it's really, you never get that level of agreement on these kind of surveys normally. So it's incredibly popular. But the other kind of flexibility is time flexibility. So that's things like not working the traditional 9-to-5, not necessarily working 5 days a week, maybe doing 4 days a week, having some flexibility around the days that you work. And this is also very popular, and you see it a lot more in developed markets. It has many benefits. It can actually help improve the labor force participation rate. So you have, young parents, especially women, who are very attracted to flexibility when it comes to time, retirees. And that time flexibility is not something that you see so often in Malaysia.
Andrew, we have a couple of minutes left. If we were going to boil it down to a takeaway message, how can companies make themselves more appealing in this new normal?
Yeah, I think that there are a few things that the employees employers can do. One is this focusing on results more, as opposed to focusing on hours that people spend, whether that's in the office or you know, even if it's working from home, the number of hours that go into it. And that focus on results as opposed to the inputs that go in, that alone should guide a bunch of very good decisions around making the most of the new normal. And the other thing is to really just remember that all of us at the end of the day are trying to work in an environment where we can be our best selves. And if we are able to be our best selves, then that translates to great business results too. So if you solve for that, if you solve for helping people be their best selves, you're going to get something that helps drive your business forward as well.
Andrew, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much.
That was Andrew Pereira, CEO of General Assembly, weighing in on what companies need to do to appeal to talents in this rapidly changing digital landscape, and I suppose a work culture that's also changing. Let us know, what do you look for in a job? Is it important to you that the company offers upskilling? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp or voice note us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be talking about how companies can future-proof as this digital transformation continues to happen. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It's 7:07. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn, and we are continuing our discussion on digital upskilling, future-proofing companies. And really, we want to hear from you. What do you look for in a job? Is it important to you that the company offers upskilling? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp or voice note us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have this from Nadira, a voice note.
Hello. So for me, whenever I'm job searching, there are three aspects that I find most important during job search, which is career fulfillment, a positive work environment, and also a good pay. And I definitely agree that companies that offer upskilling is very, very important so that us as workers, we feel like there is a growth in our careers and we don't feel like we're just stuck in a job.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, thank you, Nadira, for that. And I think that continuous satisfaction is actually really important.
Continuous satisfaction and not feeling stuck. I think that was that was such a big one, right? And I think also knowing that not just the possibility of growth away from the company, but very much within, that you are training me in a way that means that I can continue to grow with you. And perhaps also if upskilling is offered frequently enough, or with perhaps frequency is the wrong word, consistently, then I also know that it's something that I can expect, that I can look forward to.
We also have another voice note. This one is from Alex.
Good evening, BFM. My name is Alex Logan. Primarily, I'm looking for a company that is willing to invest as much into me as I have into myself. I think that most of us want our efforts to bear fruit. So primarily, we'll be looking for some job that provides us with meaningful responsibility, which shows that the company understands our value and is willing to give us work that reflects that. I think it also goes without saying that all of us want a fair wage. And lastly, and most importantly, I think that a company that has a work culture that encourages and provides personal development opportunities is second to none.
Thank you, Alex. You know, it strikes me, we are going to be talking about future-proofing very shortly with our guest, that part of that has to accommodate for how even employee expectations and what they think of as a satisfying job is shifting.
Yes. And I think that this message from Jason, which we have here, also kind of reflects not just employee expectations, but also how hard it is for, which is something we mentioned earlier, right? How hard it is for companies even to decide how they want to invest in this, what they choose. So Jason starts off saying, another Jason here. Unfortunately, the right incentives aren't in place for companies to invest heavily in tech upskilling. Highly trained individuals are poached by foreign tech companies to work remotely as pay in USD is much higher. Then companies lose out on the benefits of training these individuals when they can't keep up with the pay demands of upskilled workers.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that the right incentives need to come both from within the companies for employees, but also in a larger sense, the ecosystem that they're operating in, right? In this case, I mean, we heard much earlier from MDEC, and that's part of what they're involved in terms of providing incentives, but also training. And the I think the future look that a lot of companies might be missing. Keep those thoughts coming. If you would like to weigh in on this, what do you look for in a job? Is it important to you that the company offers upskilling? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899. You can drop us a voice note there as well, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, to discuss that issue of future-proofing when it comes to workplaces, on the line with us is Professor Dr. Hafiz Ali Iqbal Hussain, Head of Research at the Faculty of Business and Law at Taylor's University. He's also a member of the Center for Industrial Revolution and Innovation. Prof, it's good to have you with us.
Great to be here again.
So this term, future-proofing, has become quite a buzzword lately. How would you define it? And in practical terms, what does it mean to future-proof a company?
Well, I think when we talk about future-proofing, what we're looking at is things which are of value and low risk going into the future, yeah, from the business perspective. And it's commonly applied in many areas. It's not specific to a particular industry. You can have its applications in the engineering perspective. And in today's context, it's more aimed towards the sustainability perspective here. What does it mean? Well, what we are looking at here is if you look at the nature of work before COVID, technology was already changing the nature of work. Innovations were redefining how businesses were competing with each other in various industries. And we now have arrived at a situation or scenario where companies are going to have to win over talent in order to survive in the long term. Yeah, the pandemic has sidelined any efforts that firms have put to address challenges and closing these critical gaps. Yeah, and what we're going to see here is there's going to be search for new talent with new capabilities, and this is going to influence how the firm performs in the long run. Yeah.
So before we get into what companies can do here, could you talk to us about the kind of upcoming economic or technological shifts that will require companies to upgrade or upskill?
Well, I think if you want to look at it from that perspective, as businesses are trying to rebuild after the global pandemic, there's going to be a lot of opportunities to remake how the structure of the company is. And this is the perfect moment if you're going to future-proof your workforce. And if you do it well, you're going to allow yourself to pull far ahead of your rivals. Yeah? So this gives you a competitive advantage. Yeah? And even before working from home was widely accepted, digital technology was already transforming how work gets done, how many people you need to do a particular task. Yeah? And if we're going to look into the specifics, let's look at the consumer product companies. Yeah, just take that as an example. Yeah, these are companies which traditionally they've employed hundreds of people, yeah, to monitor purchases, inventory, and just to ensure that you get the right products in at the right place at the right time. Yeah. So this has changed tremendously. And how has it changed? What has brought about this change is if you look at how data is being used to provide them with real-time predictive abilities, yeah? And this is happening across the value chain or supply chain. Yeah? You can have it at the point of sales, you can have it at the manufacturing level, at the logistics level, and this is going to reduce the number of employees you require. But it's also going to change the nature of skills that you will need to be successful. Yeah. All right. So what we're going to see is the emergence of roles which are technology enabled, and more people are going to be working remotely. Yeah.
So where do you think Malaysian companies are in this journey to future-proof? Are there some industries that have embraced this better than others?
Well, I think as we move past the pandemic, yeah, companies need to decide, yeah, whether everyone needs to be back in the office or you're going to have some sort of a hybrid working arrangement, at least in the Malaysian context. Yeah. So when the economy is fully reopened as it is right now, yeah, we also need to make important decisions, whether we're going to maintain physical presence in our traditional business sense or are these businesses now going to double down on their e-commerce presence. Yeah. I think if you want to talk about it from the industry point of view, rather than looking at it from that perspective, it would be of more concern, or the bigger concern is looking at SMEs and family businesses. Yeah, if you look at it from the Malaysian context, these are the businesses that report the lowest levels of confidence in how ready they are in looking at things that are coming in the future, yeah, or their future readiness, yeah. It can be from the perspective of their talent, the people, the business environment, the technology that's changing. And these are also the types of companies that are not going to or might struggle, yeah, to adopt new business models, change their product offering, their services, penetrating new markets. Yeah. So they are also the category of people who have or businesses who have the least confidence, yeah, in their own employees' digital proficiency, yeah, or the ability to develop new skills. Yeah. So we can see that they're going to be ill-prepared for technologies like data analytics, machine learning, automation, cloud computing. It's very important to for them to be able to harness the benefits of those. Yeah.
So what does this mean then for career planning and the career path of employees down the road, especially with all these things changing and with companies also now having to make decisions about the direction that they want to go in and therefore the kind of people or how many people they might need to do that?
Well, I think when we look at career planning and career path of employees and the kind of people, I think firms are going to have to come up with a new proposition. We're going to have to put this forward to employees and potential recruits, in addition to being or getting a greater level of compensation. Tomorrow's workers are going to have this need or this craving for a deep connection to their work, yeah, and they're going to want a purpose, yeah. They want to be part of an organization that is doing something worthwhile, yeah, such as making life better or making work easier. Yeah, they want to feel a sense of inclusion. They want to feel that they belong to this greater purpose, yeah, to be part of a culture that encourages people to dig deep down and become the best versions of themselves, yeah, in their jobs, in their everyday tasks.
So change is always difficult. How can companies get their employees on board in this quest for future-proofing?
Well, I think when we look at that as a firm, the prospective employees aren't much different from your customers, yeah? In that sense that they want the company to work better for them, yeah? So if I'm a customer, I want the company to provide better products, better services. And I think employees want the same thing too. Yeah, they want to work in a place that offers better products, services, which are going to make their lives better. And the people that they serve or products they sell to are also going to experience something or are going to have a better life because of this. Yeah. So what is important is that this is communicated at the onboarding and stage as well, yeah. Okay, and it's also important for firms to think how routines, tasks, administrative duties are. How can we make it easier? How can we make it faster? And all the processes need to be human centered, yeah. And I think the important thing is that people at their workplace, they want to be treated like adults, yeah. Okay, and these people don't want to get a lot of clutter or bureaucracy in the way of getting things done. Yeah? Okay. And what is important is that the focus should be on productivity rather than face time. Yeah? People are going to want to work when and where they want. Yeah. So it's going to be important to support that sort of culture.
Prof, thanks for speaking with us today.
Welcome.
That was Professor Dr. Hafiz Ali Iqbal Hussain, Head of Research at the Faculty of Business and Law at Taylor's University. He's also a member of the Center for Industrial Revolution and Innovation. Let us know, what do you look for in a job? Is it important to you that the company offers upskilling? We're getting plenty of messages still. Send those through. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp or voice note us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Building Fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
It's 7:21. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And just looking back over the course of the show, we've been getting a number of messages on the various conversations we've been having. So earlier on Inside Story, we were talking about digital upskilling and future-proofing for companies and for workplaces. And we've been asking you for your thoughts on that. We were asking, what do you look for in a job and whether it's important to you that the company offers upskilling? Do keep sending your thoughts through. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp or voice note us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we do have some messages.
So let's start with Dr. H.K. Yeo, who's making a good point, who says, digitalization is somewhat overhyped. There are 3D jobs that are severely short of hands and you don't need to be a digital native. Think welding, plumbing, wiring. And I think that this is such a great point. It's worth saying that in the context of today's discussion, I do think we were speaking very much in the office context. So in terms of companies that run on employees in offices, that tends to be where the conversation goes. Although even there, again, we've also been talking so much about soft skills. So while digitalization matters, I think it is perhaps more precise than we're making it sound, maybe, in that if you know what direction you want to go in and you're okay placing some faith in the fact that that is going to be a relatively future-proof direction, then that's how you upskill and digitalize, as opposed to just generally going, I am now good at everything. I'm a creature of the internet.
So two messages that are actually quite a contrast to each other in an interesting way. So Ko says, upskilling is the second criteria I look for in jobs, especially those with unlimited training budget. I picked up web development skills in March 2022 and upgraded myself to being a full-stack developer from data science. Meanwhile, Jiapin says, I think before expecting a company to upskill you, it would be best to upskill yourself first. Consider taking entry-level courses and certifications. Once the employer appreciates your new knowledge, you may ask for the next advanced or expert level. You might be the pioneer and an example for other employees. This is especially true for Malaysia, as most companies are not in an advanced digital stage.
So in a way, that sounds like what Ko did as well, right? Because
yeah.
I picked up web development skills and then upgraded onwards. And yeah, I think that there is absolutely nothing stopping people from upskilling themselves, except maybe budget and time, which are things that you can move around or save up for. But the question then is, I suppose, whether you are taking this upskilling course for yourself out of interest for the job market because you think it's what's going to be there, or in fact for your company. And I think it's the final part, for your company, where it is deeply specific to what your company wants you to do and so on and so forth, that maybe the unlimited training budget part of it comes into play, and you might want to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and I also think that it shouldn't be an expectation that employees spend time, money, energy on upskilling themselves if what the outcome is actually for the company. So, and I think that that's a direction we could easily go in if we are not sort of more cognizant of providing these as opportunities for employees. Dawn says, career growth and a good boss is very important. Don't get me wrong, I love money. But high salary or a bonus with no growth or a bad boss won't bring you anywhere.
Fair enough. And those are some, I think, good fundamentals.
Keep those thoughts coming. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, WhatsApp or voice note us at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And after this, we'll be wrapping up the headlines of the week. So keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.